Matthew 16. I came in yesterday morning and began just writing while I started writing on Thursday, thinking I was going to be talking about glory and honor and power and salvation and all that good stuff about Jesus. Still going to talk about Jesus, but it goes a little different direction. This is not going to be negative, okay? I'm going to tell you what's happening in America to the church. I'm going to tell you that that was prophesied years ago by a man by the name of William Booth. Now, William Booth is not the man that shot Abe Lincoln. Okay? His last name was Booth, but it's not William. William Booth was the founder of the Salvation Army. When the Salvation Army was founded, and they still do a great work, when the Salvation Army was founded, they were very evangelical and even charismatic, as we call it today. But he started making some statements, and I'm not necessarily going to tell you all his statements, but he started making statements about the 20th and 21st century church. Now, the reason I'm telling you what he said the church would be like, number one, we don't want to be that church. And number two, we want to keep the emphasis on what God wants to keep the emphasis on. Follow me? Now, one thing I want to see, and Kirk and I have been talking, and I called Tricia the other day, is I want to see more involvement of our children in public ministry here. I want to see your sons and daughters and grandchildren praying for people and seeing them healed. I want to see them flowing in the gifts of the Spirit, because for so long, I was basically an adult preacher. Then I realized to become an adult preacher, I had to become an adult. Still working on that part of it. Thank you. Well, is there an usher available that can usher him to the door? And so, the vision for the church is not to find a place and build a nest there and stay there. The vision for the church is always becoming more like Jesus and progressing in the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to give you some signals that you may look at today, but I want to counteract those signals with where God wants to take this body of believers. So the first thing, Mark chapter 16, you probably know it. I probably preached on it. I'm not necessarily preaching on it, just except, Matthew 16. Mark 16 will give you the signs and wonders, I'm sorry. And we need them too. Thank you, Barb. Mark 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Okay. Who do you say that he is? Who is Jesus?
Son of God.
Son of God. Okay. And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you." Oh, Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell," or Hades, "shall not prevail against it." I want us to understand something so clearly and so plainly that it's just as clear as anything you've ever been revealed to you, and that is this. This is not our church. It might be our church building. This is not our church. This church, this assembly, you belong to Jesus Christ. And because Jesus said, "I will build my church," we dare not take ownership of what he's doing. It belongs to him. He's worthy of it. It's his. Therefore, if it's his church, we probably should listen to what he thinks about his church, what he desires for his church, where he wants to take his church, and what he doesn't want to have happen in his body of believers. So there's four quick things I'm going to go through today. And there's probably others you think of. If you do, write them down, and someday I may preach them. But here we go. Number one, the danger of the 20th, are we in the 21st century? Okay. The danger of the 21st century church is that they'll have salvation without Jesus Christ. And you say, what are you talking about? That they'll have salvation without repentance. They'll have salvation without acknowledging Jesus. They'll have salvation without asking for forgiveness. They'll have salvation without believing or accepting the fact that Jesus died and rose again so they could have salvation. There is nothing you can do apart from accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior that brings that word salvation to your mind and peace to your spirit. Salvation is more than just saying, well, I'm going to heaven. Salvation is deliverance, it's freedom, it's forgiveness of sins, it's all the things that entailed in that word, and it can only come to you through Jesus Christ. Now, there's a move afoot, and some of the preachers have been deceived and caught into it, that there's a universal salvation now. Everyone's saved. Everyone's going to heaven, and I want to tell you something, it's a lie.
That's right.
Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Father did not make any mistakes when they were planning the plan of salvation. The Bible still says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be saved. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart, belief is made unto righteousness. I'm going to tell you something, and I know this will go on the radio, and I may get some. I hope I do get some phone calls. It means somebody's listening. You're not saved by having some water sprinkled on your head. You're not saved by going to church. You're not saved by doing good works. You're not being saved by being nice to pastor, which kind of is nice sometimes after somebody was picking on me yesterday. And so you're not saved by any of that. You can do all the good works till Jorgensen's cows come home. And it's not going to save you. You can do all the things that are going on. You can give your body to be the University of Minnesota to let them dissect it and work on it. You can do all the charity things. You can give to Operation Christmas Tree. You can give to Angel Tree. You can give to the church. You can pay your tithe. You can give pastor an October gift. Hey, I like that one. But it's not going to get you to heaven.
That's right.
And we need to understand that. Peter in Acts chapter 4 said there's only one name given among men whereby ye must be saved, and that name is Jesus Christ. And if you know people or you have been deceived into thinking that all my good works and all my good efforts and going to church is going to get you into heaven, you're deceived.
That's right.
And you're being lied to.
Yep.
And it doesn't work. One way, his name is Jesus Christ. And apart from him, there's no salvation.
That's right.
It's for by grace are ye saved through faith. God gives you the grace. That's my grandson saying amen. God gives you the grace. He gives you the faith. And he gives you the forgiveness of sins. Any other way is not a way. And we need to understand that. Because I want to tell you something. The most attacked person in the world is not our president, it's not the United States, it's not some other leader, it's Jesus.
That's right.
It's Jesus. And we need to lift up Jesus. They want to make fun of him on the news. They want to make fun of Christians. They want to make fun of Christian athletes. They want to make fun of preachers. They want to find anything, little flaw or speck, that would point that you're not living the way Jesus would tell you to. And they'll magnify and blow it up so the rest of us goes in hibernation.
That's right.
I don't want to say anything about Jesus because somebody might not like me. Let them not like you.
Amen.
Tell them the truth.
Yes. Right.
They'll love you in heaven. You know how much you like being told you're wrong, right? How many just stand up and shout, I love it when somebody tells me I'm wrong? Huh? But I want to tell you something. In a loving, kind way, speak the truth in love. The denominations in America today, many of them have deceived their people into believing it's all about some denomination, it's all about some church. And their philosophy has become, we'll keep you in fear so you keep coming. Come on. You know, they'll tell you, well, you can't be buried in our cemetery. Well, I don't want to be buried in your cemetery. I don't want to be buried at all. Or if you come here, if you go there, you're going to be left out. You know, we're the church. No, Jesus is the church.
Amen.
He built his church. And we need to come to a place of understanding that in the pure gospel of Jesus Christ, there's no fear. Not even fearing. No fear. And perfect love casts out all fear. Now, I want to tell you something. When you come to Jesus, you have never been loved like God loves you. He accepts you for what you were, and he knows what you're going to be. And so a danger is to compromise that salvation is through Jesus Christ. And compromise that to the degree that we ignore what the Bible teaches us. Every major revival has been started by people praying and knowing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Everyone. We need to take hold of that. We need to hang on to that. Don't compromise that. You may say, well, they won't come to our church if we tell them what we really believe. But they'll come once they realize you're telling them the truth.
That's right.
I told the preachers the other day when we were preaching the pastor's conference, is that what you do to get the people to church? Is that what you're going to have to do to keep them? We don't want people coming here with false impressions that we're going to preach some social watered-down gospel. Let them come when they're hungry for Jesus. Get saved, and we need to disciple them, and we need to have a plan for them, and we need to work with them, and we need to not compromise what God has told us. If you believe that, give the Lord a hand, because it's true. It's really true. Number two, still with me?
Yes, sir.
I better check that. Is a church without the work of the Holy Spirit? A church without Jesus and a church without the Holy Spirit is not a church, it's a social club. There's one thing, please understand. There's no compromise here on the Holy Spirit. People have come and say, well, if you cut out the music and do this and do that, I'll come. My words to them is there's 20 other churches singing the hymnal. Please enjoy them. I'm not being cocky. I'm not being arrogant. God has commissioned this body of believers, and even though we're small, he's commissioned us to go the direction of the Holy Spirit, to honor the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in worship, and not compromise anything to reach that goal of glorifying God. And that's what we're doing. Jesus said in Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, but you'll receive power. No, but go tarry in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 1:8, he said, you'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world. Now, I want to tell you something. In Matthew chapter 10, and I'll go to Mark, so let me go to Mark later, okay? In Matthew chapter 10, the Bible says, he gave his disciples power and authority to heal the sick, to cast out demons. And in verse number 8, he says, go heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse a leper, and cast out demons. The disciples worked under the authority of Jesus. Luke chapter 9, verse 1, and he gave them authority to do this. Disciples worked under the authority and ministered under the authority of Jesus, and he was with them. Then the time came after the resurrection that he ascended back to heaven. Now what? Whose authority were they under now? He's gone. And so he said, I'm leaving, but I'm sending you another comforter, and I'm not going to let you be orphans, but the Holy Spirit, when he is come, he will lead you into all truth. He will take of mine and declare it unto you. He will glorify me. And he will convince the world of sin. So the disciples went from that moment into their mission field under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, under the authority of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit was listening to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit was declaring it through the disciples. Now, please, don't just think the Holy Spirit means tongues. It's not what it's about. I believe in tongues, but it's not about tongues. It's about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit taking from Jesus and working through our lives and ministering to people and touching people, giving them the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit so they go out. And what's so fearful about that? Why would the churches not want to have the Holy Spirit? Why would we come to a place where the Holy Spirit is Arimathea in the kingdom of God? Anathema, I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you a few things. You know, we're not here as cheerleaders. I don't have pom-poms and a short skirt. That would be ugly. You need to come into this place anointed by the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit, ready to minister to somebody. Thank you, Zach. Get them excited, buddy. And that's what it's about. That's right. We come in to minister to one to another. Yeah. You know what our focus usually is? I'm going to church to be ministered to. I wish I knew what he was saying. But we go to church to be ministered to, or we attend a building to be ministered to. And it's time that we come to the body of Christ to minister to somebody else. There are times we need ministry. There's no doubt about it. Judy's home not feeling well this morning. And so there's times we need to just pray for Judy. But there are times we need to come anointed by God to minister to someone else. When you come in, maybe God's given you a word. And maybe as you're sitting there, God says, I know who that person is. Go talk to him at break. Go talk to him. Maybe he wants to have you used with the gifts. Maybe you sense something. Maybe we need to speak something out. But without the Holy Spirit, the church is powerless. We're powerless. And so we want to invite the Holy Spirit in here. And that's kind of a misnomer too. He's here. He's here in us. We need to free him to do what he wants to do. And I'll go into this part some other time. But we need to allow God to do what he wants to do in our services. And how does he do that? The one he sent to comfort, the one he sent to lead us, the one he sent to guide us. He wants you anointed with that Spirit to a degree that we come in here and we allow an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to move, and he creates the atmosphere. And you want to go home excited? That's how we go home excited. Number three, we're living in a time, and don't think the world, but we're living in America, and as we told you earlier, please don't judge every church by America, okay? The world is having some major revivals. You don't believe it, just read Ray Phipps and his wife and their columns and the things that are happening from people we know. Listen to Mavis, listen to the people going forth. There comes a time, and it's here now, when people are preaching without preaching the Word of God. And the Bible warns us about that. And I'm not building or bragging on COC, but if there comes a time and I quit preaching the Word, tell me to find a new location. Anyone will do. And don't follow me there. Hello. I know I've been around so long that some of you have never known another pastor. You poor people. But we need to preach God's word. We need to stay in God's word. Without God's word, we have a few suggestions to offer. Second Timothy chapter 4. Verse number 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Now listen to this. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. How many of you would ever die for a myth? For a fable? No, you wouldn't. That's something that's not true. It's a lie. God wants you so convinced by the Holy Spirit that his word is true that when you hear error, you'll recognize it. That something will stick in your mind and your spirit that says, that's not right. Jesus was called the Word of God. He was the revelation of God to us. Just like the Bible is a revelation of God to us, that He designed for us to understand and grow. And Peter says, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow. There's a growth process going. The Bible tells us that all Scripture in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy is given by the inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be mature, thoroughly equipped for all good works. That this book is inspired by God. And I know people are going to say, well, it's been translated so many times. It doesn't say that it changed. So the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing the dividing asunder of even the joints and the marrow, and is the discerners of the spirit and intent of the heart. Yes. The Word of God. You wonder how God disciplines us? He doesn't give you cancer. He doesn't give you MS. He doesn't give you some other disease. You get in the Word of God, and the Word of God trains us. It disciplines us. It teaches us. That's how we do it. And that's how He does it. Please don't compromise God's Word. Don't change it to get someone to believe what you believe. Speak the truth in love. That changes people. The Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Truth is nothing hidden, it's reality. Jesus is the picture of truth, and you'll learn about Jesus through God's Word. Amen. Believe that?
Yes, sir.
Amen. One more. Got time for one more?
Yes, sir.
Don't ever buy the concept that there's heaven without hell. I know I touch on touchy subjects. Hell was never prepared for God's people. Hell was prepared for Satan and his angels. And from the time Jesus spoke, He talked more of hell than He talked about heaven. In fact, hell is so real. Turn with me to the book of Jude for a moment, then we're going to look at Revelation 20 and we'll let you go. The book of Jude, right before Revelation. Before I go there, look at me. Scaring people into heaven usually doesn't work.
No.
Okay? There's a better way, but not the only way. There are times people will absolutely not embrace God's grace, God's love, God's compassion, and God's mercy. And the Bible knows that. So the Bible tells us to do something else. In the book of Jude, verse number 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. That's how we get ourselves built up. Pray, allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, and He does. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction. Compassion is the key. Love is the key. Grace is the key. Mercy is the key. But You may have some old codger or some young codger. You may have some gang member. You may have someone else who's telling you, well, I don't believe that love stuff. I don't believe God did this. And so Jude put this in there just for your information. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. There are times you just lay it on the line. Nobody wants to talk about the wrath of God. It's not happening today, or maybe even tomorrow. But I just finished reading the book of Revelation again. And in that book of Revelation, God's wrath is being stored up for the tribulation period, and one day it'll come. Okay? It'll come. Right now is grace. Right now is compassion. Right now is love. Right now is mercy. Right now is all the good things. Hi, what? Revelation chapter 20. William Booth said, in the 20th century, you'll find out that there'll become a time when there'll be heaven without hell. In other words, that speaks of a universal religion. Today we're seeing it. We're seeing it with some TV preachers. We're seeing it with other folks. And I don't know how you tear this out of the Bible. Yeah. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 11. Let's go verse number 10 first. And the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So number one, there's no exit door in lake of fire. And I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Now listen, look at me. They're judged by their works, not Christians, unbelievers. Because that's all they have to compare themselves to the righteousness of Jesus. You will be rewarded for your works. You'll never be judged for them. Do you hear me? So don't read this and say, man, I got to get busy. I got to do more. I got to do more. No, your salvation is by grace alone. Salvation is by Jesus alone. Okay? And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to their works. Unsaved works. All they had to compare to the righteousness of Jesus. And death and Hades were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now here's the key. And anyone, say anyone. Or say everyone. Everyone who was not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. No ifs, ands, or buts. Now listen. Signing a church membership card is not signing into the book of life.
That's right.
Okay? You can sign every membership card of every church in this whole nation, in this whole world, and you'll still be a member sinner.
That's right.
When you accept Jesus Christ, your name is in the book of life. It's only through Christ are you going to heaven and escaping the judgments of hell. And I know people water that down. I know this is going on, and people are going to say, well, what about so-and-so, and what about my family? And they didn't know Jesus. Leave it in the hands of God. Can't do anything about it. They're gone. But this doesn't make any sense to me. Look at me. Because Sister Popovnik died and went to hell, why do you want to go with her? Well, I'm mad at God because so-and-so died and went to hell. So you're going to take that same step and follow them there? I don't think so. If they were there, they wouldn't want you there.
That's right.
Look at the rich man.
Yes.
And there's no parable where Jesus gave somebody a name. So the parable that people think it is a reality scope of hell where the rich man was begging Abraham to send Lazarus back and tell his people about this place called hell because he was in torment. And he cried out, just send me a little water, a few drops. I know it's not modern. I know it's not in today's age. I know we're in the postmodern religious area. I understand all that. But God is there and been further than anybody else has. And he's back there and he's here. And he knows exactly what he's talking about. It's time we just accept what the Bible says.
Amen.
And go forward with what God is saying. I'm not trying to change your opinion. Like Frida says, if I change your opinion and you haven't changed yours, you're still of the same opinion. And I just messed that up, but that's okay. I got a right to mess it up. And so this is fact. Don't mess with salvation. Don't mess with the work of the Holy Spirit. Don't mess with God's word, believe it. Don't mess with the coming judgment of the unbeliever because it's coming. That's why we reach him for Jesus. You know, God loves people just the way they are, but he loves them too much to leave them that way. Amen.